Hello
and welcome to Nine Inch Charge. Welcome to episode 27, where we are going to talk about dwarves. Tom has been struggling to learn all the dwarven names that we're going to talk about today. I've been learning the place names, which are nice and easy because they all start with Carrick this or Carrick that. So today we are going to tell you the Carrick do's and the Carrick don'ts of dwarves in the old world. Tom, can you please kick us off by telling us about the dwarves that you have discovered in and around your storage boxes since the last episode we did on dwarves? Because you got quite excited towards the end of the last one, didn't you?
I did. So I have found 20 hammerers. 10 of them I painted up a year ago. They're on rounds, so I'm going to have to rip them off and put them on squares. I've got another 10 on squares unpainted. 20 iron breakers. I've got 20 iron drake.
Oh, yeah, nice.
But I've not got any artillery. I don't know where any of my artillery is. I think I've got 20 long beards. I can't remember if they were long beards now. I only just had a quick glance at them.
Man, you got all the elites.
Yeah, they're my favourite bit of the army, really. I've got, I can see a miner set. I've got a miners and in a box ready to be built, and I've got a cannon in another box that I was looking for, saw when I was digging out my dreadnoughts.
That is quite the makings, though. I mean, there's got to be 80, 90 models there.
Yeah, easily. And then I've got another... I know where they are now, the warriors, which is another 30. And then it was 20 quarrelers with guns.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thunderers are the ones with guns.
Thunderers, yeah. Thunderers.
Nice.
Well, two gyrocopters, cannon, organ gun. So yeah, I think I and all the HQ. So I know I should have ruled that easy.
Oh my goodness, how much of it's painted? The warriors are painted, aren't they?
The warriors are painted, the thunderers are painted. Organ gun needs its crew painted. Cannon needs its crew painted, just because the best thing about the dwarven artillery, you just spray it silver and it's done.
I've just hit 2,400 points without upgrades or magic items and stuff like that, so I'm pretty much comfortable at 3,000 points of wood elves. So I'm ready to play a game. I've got the core requirement to do 2,000. So as soon as you dig, even if you've got 1,000 points and you just got some warriors out and a few bits that you had, we could play a game.
Yeah, we could indeed.
So let's see if we can make that happen, because I'm trying to arrange time to play Jeremy. Might be Sunday. Watch your space. And then obviously Dan when he's back from Devon. But all right. I want to talk about the timeline. I got really excited looking at the timeline. So this is a really, really interesting and cool place that the dwarves are in right now, in the setting of the old world. So some of the races are kind of on the up, some of the races are on the down. The dwarves are definitely, definitely on the up. So this whole period of time for them is called the Silver Age. And it's the age of reconquest and prosperity. It's not quite the golden age, but it's second best to the golden age. And they have done so much cool stuff in this time. So the first thing is that the Empire of Man has is kind of on the up a little bit. So they've increased trade with the Empire. So they're supplying them with all kinds of different weapons and things like that. They've introduced some technology to them, some black powder and stuff like that as well. So there's good trade, good relations. They found that the humans, although they're short-lived and they do have a bit of they do want power a bit more than the dwarves do. They're a bit, they get a bit power mad, the humans, and they can get a bit susceptible to chaos. They have found that they enjoy a good pint and they like a good scrap. So there's good trade and stuff and good relations going on there. Within the Western lands, Blackfire Pass is now closed to enemies, and the dwarves are now attempting to re-establish their grip on the World's Edge mountains. So throng after throng of heavily armored dwarves marching forth in the Great Holds and lead a campaign of conquest not seen since the dawning of their history. And they are fighting out and clearing out orc encampments off the mountains. They're scouring the tunnels for night goblins, and they're exterminating Skaven, and they're fighting all different kinds of monsters and trolls and all sorts. The toll is very high on dwarves, but they're a determined lot. And actually, by the end of this campaign, they would have won back the mountain territories that they lost. So,
ambitious.
But that is how the lore goes. That does happen. So they do get their grip back on the World's Edge mountains and their ancestral homeland. Other stuff that is going on that is really cool is there's a big kind of upgrading going on. It sounds a bit like, you know, Boris Johnson kept going around talking about leveling up all the time. They're doing a bit of leveling up. So what they're doing is crossbows and catapults are kind of being phased out, and the black powder weapons are coming in. And also they're trying out brand new kind of weapons. And this is an age where there's a lot of experimentation. So there might be some weapons that do work, some that don't. There will be some ones that we have never seen before that didn't quite make it, or prototypes and things like that. It talks about fuse bombs and things like that. And that's all under the leadership of the Engineers Guild. Transportation has been improved. They've built their first train. So trains are now a thing. They're using them to transport themselves and goods and things all around. There was talk of having a train down in Tilia. Don't know if that happened, but they are definitely using trains now. And that's something that harks towards the train that they have for the Chaos Dwarves. So I'd like to see an armored like battle train, something with a ridiculous, you know, like that stupid Nazi gun that was on the top of a train.
Yeah. They're too good.
I'd like to see something like that would like fire over the mountains and just land and like blow up a city somewhere else. I think that'd be interesting. And they've built some ironclads. And ironclads, for those of you who play Dwarves or Dwarden in Age of Sigmar, will know that ironclads are the skyships of the Caradhron overlords. Well, we don't, you know, we've got gyrocopters and gyrobombers, but they don't have massive skyships. And ironclad is what is in the navy for the dwarves. So actually, they're now able to transport and extend their reach over water, which is something that I don't think dwarves, they're not really at home in the water. The Norse dwarves are a little bit more at home in the water, but they look really cool. I have to put a picture of one up. A dwarven fleet, like an iron fleet. They look brilliant. So that's cool. So lots of innovation, lots of expanding the economy, lots of leveling up. Lots of scraps to get in, reclaiming the lands of their ancestors, all kinds of really cool stuff. And there are a couple of characters who stand out as well. So I just want to talk about them. Despite a rising awareness that they would have to keep a wary eye on their allies, dwarf throngs marched to the aid of the Empire time and time again. It was Grufflock and his Slayer warband out of Carrick Cadrin that Red Solland of Othug the Orrible, and a rampaging bone grinder giant of enormous size. The dwarves of Carrick Norn sided with the Empire in their 100-year border dispute with Britannia, and throngs from Zufbar drove ogre armies out of the moot no less than over a dozen occasions. During the Vampire Wars, the dwarves fought in countless battles, most noticeably the Battle of Hungerwood and the night siege of Castle Templehof. The dwarves also supported the Empire in ways other than battle. They passed along much technical knowledge as the Engineers Guild deemed was safe for men to know, and such as the art of making true steel and how to manufacture black powder. Naturally, dwarves also passed along countless tips for brewing ales that were less watery and constructed and construction advice for building structures that did not sag and lasted for longer than just a few centuries. So getting stuck in with the Empire and a very, very close relationship to the Empire there, closer than we've seen before. And that is the Age of Silver, which just takes us up to just before the War Against Chaos. So as I said, a pretty good time to be a dwarf, don't you think?
It is, yeah. Great time to be a dwarf. And by the sounds of it, we can see some really interesting stuff as well. You'd use that for a whole plethora of rules, couldn't you, in the game, if they get...
I'd love to see, off the back of that, I'd love to see a campaign going through the mountains and taking back their homeland and things like that. I think that would be a very cool addition to any dwarf book. I'd also, now off the back of this, like to see an ally system for the Empire where they could have some dwarves rock up, and maybe a faction from the Dwarven Engineers Guild. So if they wanted, for example, a more reliable cannon, they could have a Dwarven cannon or something like that, or just a little detachment of miners, something along those lines.
Wasn't there something in the End Times book that had dwarf formations that was half Empire, half dwarf? I think I recall.
But, I don't remember, if I'm honest. I just, if you know, leave a comment. But yeah. I was just
all. I know they had a few formations. Yeah, I think it'd be really brilliant to see them bring back the. What's the camp? We brought loads of them before, didn't we, when we were playing Fantasy? The campaign tiles, the grand campaign little hexes.
Yeah,
you could bring that back and do that through the mountains.
What was funny about those is that they had ones that were like land and coastlines and mountains. They just need to bring out a pack of just the mountains.
Just mountains, yeah. And you could have loads of stuff. So it'd be like, you could have your orcs, you could have your goblins, you could have ogres.
Skaven under there.
Chaos. Yeah, your Chaos, your Skaven. Are there any really cool war machines you think you'd see? So all I can think about now is like the Mammoth Tank from Command & Conquer. So you can have a steam tank. And obviously it's not going to work because it's in the mountains, right? But it's going to have two dwarf cannons sat on top, just like pinging people off.
Well, I think it might be your job to convert one. If they've got, you know, you could be one of the mad engineers. So what I was thinking was it might be more along the lines of, if you have a cannon, you can then, like you would put runes on a cannon, you could put a modification on the cannon. And they would be a bit more kind of Skaven-esque. Do you remember like the rattling gun where if you ever rolled a double, it would explode? But if you didn't, it would do loads of damage.
Yeah.
I think stuff like that. But the thing is that the dwarves, they aren't really like that. There will be stuff to experiment with, but I don't know that they would rush to take it to the battlefield or not, because it says here, prototype testing took hundreds of years before being approved by the guild. But it doesn't say where they do their prototype testing. Obviously, things will still need to be battle tested. It's whether or not it's got guild approval, I suppose, is the difference.
Yeah. That's the thing as well. Like, you've got a chance, especially with Age of Sigmar, I think they've got a real chance, just let their hair down a bit. They don't have to be so uptight fantasy. I still want to see it kept in the realm of Warhammer Fantasy, but it can just be like, go have a little bit of fun, dwarves. Have a little bit of fun. Especially if you're going
to
do these,
there's loads of fun to have in the dwarf book, as we said before. There's like people drinking ale and getting drunk, and you've got
you know,
the slayers who are just absolute maniacs. But you're right, you know, there's helicopters and stuff, but you're right, there's not something with a massive presence. And it would be cool to see something a bit like that. What was that Blood Bowl machine that had all the axes on the front of it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do, yeah, but I can't remember what it's called. Yeah.
Something like that would be interesting to see, I think.
And everyone always talked about a stone golem. There's always a stone golem coming out for the dwarves. at some point, wasn't there? So, and there's even one in one of the back of the last book they got, in one of their double page spreads. There's a massive picture. It's like the shadow of a massive golem. It's like wailing down on orcs and goblins.
I'm having a look at it. Rune golems.
Yeah.
Okay. Rune golems, literally in their own language, Gronti Duras, which means enduring stone, are among the pinnacle of runecraft of the old dwarves. The first one said to be in the shape of Thrungni, the ancestor god of rune magic himself. They were stored in the inner sanctums of the oldest dwarf fortresses, where the rune lords practiced their craft and kept their anvils of doom. During the War of Vengeance, the old magic that had empowered the rune golems had begun to sink deeper into the earth, out of the reach of any rune lord. The last one able to command them was Ranald Silverthumb, rune lord of Karaz Akarak. And even he needed the aid of other rune lords to fully awaken them. The act of attempting to animate slumbering golems and use them in war alone turned him into stone. It's before where we are, but there's nothing to say that they can't write a bit into the lore now where, you know, because the dwarves aren't quite secretive and we don't know everything that goes on. I'm sure they don't know everything that goes on in the mines and in the dark and in the deeps, that there isn't a rune lord who is summoning one. I think that would be brilliant to see. I think you're right there. That would be so great. I think what I'd like to see is there's a bit, isn't there, in Total War, where the cafe have got the sentinels and they form part of the castle structures and then they step out. I'd like to see that mirrored with the dwarves, where you get to a dwarf and there's like two at the gates and then they just come and like absolutely smash you into oblivion. Yeah, that's a very cool idea.
Yeah. I'd like to see another rule I just thought about. Thinking about our last video when we were talking about the greybeards being old grumblers. I'd love to see a rule where there was some disadvantage with them using them in conjunction with the new black powder weapons. Because I can imagine them just strolling around the battlefield. It's like, why is this weakling using a handgun? Like we used to use crossbows back in the day. They're just like moaning away, wading into battle, just moaning about everything changing.
I like that as well. That's a very cool idea, cool synergy. Or maybe they give a, instead of there being something negative, they give a positive to quarrelers or to
quarrelers
or things like that. Catapults, they call them. Yeah. All right. Well, talking about taking things back, ancestral homelands and things like that, you wanted to talk a little bit about dwarven ancestors, didn't you, Tom?
Yeah, well, the dwarves have a pantheon of gods just like everybody else does. And it seems as if the dwarven gods seem to just, as dwarves, seem to create a god for just about any task they do. Very, very interesting. I'm going to butcher some names and it's going to be quite brief. But they've got the god of gods, Grungi, the dwarven god of mining, artisan, and Smith. He's like their Zeus. Everyone acted to Grungi. Valea, who had a really cool banner in the 8th edition, who'd give you an extra +2 to dispel, was the goddess of home, hearth, brewing, and healing, and the partner of Grungi. Well, partner, wife. Don't know what you can say on the internet now, so I'm going to stick with partner. Grimnir is probably the coolest. He's the god of war. War. I can imagine he's going to have some awesome like synergies with the game if they're going to do this kind of like in the timeline where they are, when the dwarves are really riding out and trying to retake. You could probably see massive monuments to Grimnir around.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. Gazor, I think it is. God of the subterranean realm, or the under earth sort of dwarves. So just where the Skaven lie. Then you've got like Sednir, Smednir. I don't know. You've got the easy ones. You just had like Carrick Cadin and all of that good stuff. He's the Shaper of Ore, the patron of ore refinement and intricate metalwork. So all of these like guilds, who the smithing guilds, the refining guilds, they all honor and exonerate this guy.
I was just reading a book where there was a dwarf who was in one of those guilds, and he was a metal worker, and his brother owned a shop, and they would work together in the shop sometimes. And it was really a big point of pride for them that there was no metal working in the world that was as good quality of any kind, whether it be really intricate, if it be jewelry, or if it be, you know, something, a weapon of war. There's nothing, if it's dwarven forged and dwarven made, their big fat clumsy fingers actually aren't big fat and clumsy. They produce stuff that is absolutely of the highest quality every time.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? All I think about when I think about dwarves is the massive cannons, the hammers, and everything like that. Actually, when you look at the models, it's all of the really intricate little details that blow you away. It's like the craft work that goes into forging the hammer. It isn't just a hammer on a stick. It's a big old crafted pole. And then it's got these like lovely X's that are encrusted with diamonds and jewels. And then at the end of that, you've got the big old hammer that's going to smash your face. Mm-hmm. But I love that all of these guilds pray to gods. If that, like, it seems a bit weird because, you know, they seem like dwarves, and they just seem to be a bit old, grumbly. Oh, I'm not doing that. Screw that guy. But actually, they're all there, really, like, zoned in, zened in craftsmen who take nothing, like, don't take pride in every little bit of work they do.
Hmm.
Love it. Just like, it's so cool to have all of these different gods, and they all do very distinct, different things. It's not just like, yeah, they're kind of all just the same guy, like Gork and Mork. Brutal and cunning, or cunningly brutal. They're all very specific. And it's not something, even though I love dwarves and I love collecting them, it's not something I've really ever thought about, is their pantheon.
Is it something that you think would influence either your own lore for your army or the way that you might paint them now? Like, if you had a rune smith, would you try and do something that ties in with gods?
Yeah, I would. Like, the way I painted them before, they were all tied in with their, it was a family more so. It was that like a guild, if I'm going to say guild now, a guild of brotherhood. They forged through battle as opposed to anything else. So they'd be out campaigning and they'd be out fighting, and then the old beards, the long beards would see him fight and just like, actually, this guy's pretty sick. He did quite well in the last one. Join our rank. We'll bring you up. And then they move out of their warrior units and their quarreler units into different, and they specialize that way. But I might do it a little bit differently this time around.
I always wonder this because of the wood elves that I played, where they had kindreds and you could have your hero kind of flavored a certain way. I suppose you could do it that way with runes that they have in their weapons and things like that. You could have, there was always like rune of smithing and rune of battle and things like that, different master runes. So you could go down that route kind of anyway to kind of reflect what kind of god that you want to, or what ancestor god you want to reflect in your army. But I'd like to see a bit more of that. I'd like to see color schemes. I always like to see that in the books. Two color schemes.
What do you want?
Color schemes, campaigns, some kind of big new cool thing, and also a bit of adventurousness, I suppose, in the crafting of black powder weaponry. I want to see some bombs and grenades.
Bombs, different kind of guns, long rifles.
I like the idea, like, of the old, the kind of old-fashioned machine gun with the handle that you turn the barrel with. Something.
Yeah, that would be great. The Empire tried that. That's the thing. Everything I can think of as experimental, I just think, well, they've got that with the organ gun, or, you know, The Empire did it worse.
I think bombs and grenades is the thing that I think about dwarves more than I think about humans. I'd like to see something like that. But if you have any ideas of what you would like to see, let us know. Leave a comment. Let us know what it is about the dwarves you're looking forward to see and come back in the most. I think for me, it was just when I was reading that lore and I was reading about the Age of Silver, it was just that they were on the up and that they're doing all the things that dwarves love to do best. So for me, I just want to see them absolutely at the top of their game, absolutely ridding the world of all the kind of blights and creatures and nasties that have invaded their homelands, and then coming down the mountains to aid the Empire and have a few pints, getting stuck in the ruck. That for me I know that we want to see armies on the table, but the lore was so captivating for me.
Yeah. I get that a lot. I think that is the way the old world should be done. They should have this broad narrative like they do now in like Age of Sigmar and 40K, and then just have a book every 6 months that is just like a deep dive into a very specific point in time for an army. It's just like, this is a screenshot of them and this is what their life looked like day to day. Here's a really cool campaign that goes along with it. You can play if you're into that army. But
and for you, Tom, what's your pick? What are you looking forward to about dwarves coming back to the old world the most?
The dwarves coming back to the old world. Big shield walls. I'd like to see a bit more of the rules writing, like that creativity they have with the rules they've learned from the newer game, brought into the old world a bit more. Those specific formations, guild walls meaning something in the game, black powder weapons, cannons stacked on top of each other, would that work? Is what I'm thinking. Like, do you need two cannons that are like laser pointers that can just annihilate anything?
What you need is Fosdek's folding fortress, and it opens up, and then every layer, you put a cannon on every floor. I think
that's it. Massive siege tower, but actually, it just like takes down a wall. loads and loads of stuff. Dwarves learning to ride cavalry.
No, I can't see. Do you know what? It did cross my mind, and then I think for about half a second, I was just like, no. No. We don't need that. If anything, it would be going to war on the back of a machine, but I think that would take us out of the low fantasy setting a bit too much. If they were kind of like bikes and like quad bikes or Mario Kart kind of things, I wouldn't know. Yeah, it'd be a bit weird. So I don't, for me, it's not, I'm open to be proven wrong, but for me, it's an aesthetic doesn't really fit. But let us know what you think as well. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you are most excited about. Let us know your favorite point of dwarf lore and who your favorite dwarf and hero is. And rest assured that I'm going to be badgering Tom to get his dwarven army out of storage, and we will play a game at some point now that I'm ready to with the wood elves. So watch this space. There will be a grudge match. It will be dwarves versus elves. We will see who will be victorious in the end. So yeah, watch this space.
Gauntlets thrown down.
And we will catch you next time. Thank you very much for watching. Please be sure to leave a comment and let me know what you think. I do read every single comment. If you've enjoyed this video, please be sure to give it a like. And if you'd like to see more content like this in the future, please consider subscribing to the channel. And if you'd like to take the conversation even further, you can join the 9 Inch Charge Hobby Hangout Group on Facebook. This is a place for us to come together as a community and encourage each other and chat about our hobby. And feel free to share your models, thoughts, ideas, or ask any questions that you may have. There's a link in the description below. And if you'd like to support the channel, you can find a link in the description to our Patreon page, or you could become a YouTube member. And you can also support the channel by using the affiliate link we have to Element Games. They have a really extensive hobby range. I'm sure you can find anything that you're looking for on there. And they also sell it at a discount to Games Workshop. And if you use the affiliate link, we get a small amount of commission back that we can use to put back into the channel. As ever, this has been Nine Inch Charge. Thank you very much for watching, and I will catch you next time.